Hangisi mi ya?
JK.
Hangisi mi ya?
Hani Esther?
Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoa. Anna Bakoa, Gedula Chimim Ha, Tatir, Seruba, Alephet Gimel Yutak Sadi, Kabel Rinat. Amcha sagvenu baharenu nora. Ufrei Shayan, Sintet Nun. Nagibor, Dorshe Yehudcha, Kivavat Shamrem. Nun Gimel Dalet. Yud Kaf Shin. Barchem Tacharem Rachamei Sidkacha Tamid Tamlem. Et Tetresh Tzaditav Gimel. Chasin Kadosh Birov Tuvcha Nae Adata Tet Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan. The letters of the month of Iyar, the Pei that created the planet Noga, the planet Venus, and the Vav that created the constellation Shor, the bull, the astrological sign of Taurus. Together, the Pe and the Vav spell the Hebrew word Po, which means here. And this leads to an esoteric question. Where is here? Is it physical? Is it spiritual? Is it both? Is it none? Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimelamed Pe Zion Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushmatia Katenu Yodea Dalumo Shin Kufav Tzadi Yud Taf. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of that creation. And we will utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for this purpose. Adonai Yoheh Waheh. Adonai Yoheh Waheh. El rachum v'chanun, erech apayim, v'rav chesed v'emet, notzer chesed l'alafim, noseyawon wafesha, v'chata'a v'nake. We'll now connect with the energy of the year of the goat, 5777. There are two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we will study is Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52. And we will start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kud shabarifu ishkinte bitfilu Erhimud hilud hilu erhimud Liyachta l'shem yud hey bevav hey. V'yichuda shilim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. V'yehino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei adenu konanei aleinu ma'asei adenu konaneihu. Tod saduni katzipor. When we take the first letters of these five words, we're able to parse them into three Hebrew words, Tzatz Ki Yach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the last letters of these words, we're able to permute them into two Hebrew words, Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that we study that connects to this year of the goat is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. This verse has concealed within it the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion. And each letter of the name of the year is separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai Yohewahe Elohechem Adivaku Asher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. We're now going to connect to the year of the pause, 5776, and there are two verses that connect to this energy as well. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ayu limat velo yachlu lehavshit et kol ha'olot vayechaskum acheichem alevim ad kelo tamlacha. V'ad yitkadshu ha-kohanim, ki ha-levim yishrei levav, le-yitkadesh me-ha-kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohewahe, la-la-he, wa 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 yo la yo wa la me hey 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 a ka a re ka ha. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 4 is the second verse. Bid hu ba Adonai yo hey wa hey Ade ad ki biya yo yo hey Adonai yo hey wa hey tzur olam. There are three verses that connect to the energy of the year 5775, the year that swallows death forever. First verse is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kamalo ishemimeni lo tarpeni ad biliruki. Next comes 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu bikol hamachavoyiyam. Asher yitchabe sham ushaltem Eli el nachom v'halachti yitchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'hipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. Job chapter 20 verse 7. Kegelo lametza yoved roav yom ruayo. And then there's only one verse that connects to the energy of 5774, which is peace in the Middle East. That verse is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Kusamti makom liami li Israel untati vishatan tahtav vilo yirgaz od vilo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto ta'asher barishona. We'll now scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. The names of the Tzaddikim who left this day, which is known as the holiday of Lag BaOmer, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is said to have left this day. Rabbi Moshe Iserlis, known as the Rima. Rabbi Moshe Cohen Narol, Rabbi Moshe Eisenman, Rabbi David Heckscher, Rabbi Alter Eliyahu Rubinstein. And the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach we say in a whisper. Today's class is a Zohar class on the Parasha of Behar. You can find the link, the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, the first verse, the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, the first row, the right-hand column. It's a list of all of the Parashas in the year. Open that link and scroll down to the Parasha of Behar. When you open up that page, scroll down to the handouts for section 6. And we will begin with Pasuk 25. And since we have already said the Lashem Yehud, we will be using that from this point forward in the evening, which will also include the study of Lag BaOmer, which commences at 10 o'clock West Coast time. Pasuk 25 of Parashat Behar. Behahu zimna bikuda litkoa Shofar teruwa b'ayovel ahidikti kinsa nes harim tiru lekit koa shofar tishmau kegavna David kiat shofar diovla Kulhu avdin nafke lecherut Aki befur kana bat raita bit kiat Shofar mit kanshin bol Yisrael Me arba sitre Almadinun avdin diovla, demare Torah Yitzchon Avdin Almanat Lekabel Peras Yitzchariyu Avde Malka Umat Ronita Aval Beno Imalka Kadisha Yesayetchem Al Kanfei Nasharim Vavio Etchem Elai Neteinun Tate Tevav Demar Merkavta. The translation. At the time of the redemption, it will be a precept to blow the shofar on the Jubilee, as it is written, see when he lifts up a banner on the mountains, and when he blows a shofar, hear. For as with the blowing of the shofar of Jubilee, all slaves go free, so is the final redemption. Through the blowing of the shofar, all of Israel will assemble from the four points of the earth, since they are slaves until the Jubilee. The secret of the light redemption. Among masters of Torah, there are also slaves on the condition of receiving payment, and they are called slaves of the king and queen. But of the children of the Holy King, it is written, I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself, meaning on the wings of the living creatures of the chariot. My commentary. To a student of Kabbalah, this pasuk is clear. To others, it is confusing, since they usually perceive things on the literal level. A slave in Hebrew is avid. This word translates as both slave and service or work. Thus, the students do not realize the word slave as the normal connotation, but someone who has chosen their God to work for, and sometimes work is translated as service. Pasuk 26. Pikuda batar da letet la lilvim arim leshavet uginun la ishtatapu baegla kudshabarichu kalak lon legabeya lemechewe menagvinim. Leya bekama minei migun bekohanim beavodatan ulevim leshiram uzimram beyisraelin behem kohanim beavodatam beitaman kama pikudin. The translation. The precept after this is to give the Levites cities of dwelling, since they did not participate in the sin of the golden calf. The Holy One, blessed be He, set them apart for Himself to play numerous types of melodies for Him. Thus, the priests fulfilled their function, as did the Levites with song and music, and the children of Israel in their dwellings. The priests had numerous mitzvot. My commentary. This pasuk hints at the need for a set of three to serve Hashem. Thus the children of Israel split themselves into three. The Israeli who brought the sacrifices, the Levites who assisted the priests and brought singing into the temple, and the priests who actually slaughtered and processed the sacrifices. Pasuk 27. Pikudachad leasot shemen chamishta amishcha bet levim shomrin bamikdash gimel Yisrael lira min hamikdash dalet avodat halevim bevet hamikdash. Hey lechaktir ketoret amayim vav kohanim tok im bachatzotzrot ba mikdash zayin lekadesh zerach aron ba mikdash chet lilevush levosh big day kihuna ba mikdash et rachitzat yadayim beraglayim leavod ba mikdash. The translation. The first precept is to make the anointing oil. The second is for the Levites to guard in the temple. The third is for Israel to revere the temple. The fourth concerns the service of the Levites in the temple. The fifth is to burn incense twice daily. The sixth is for the priests to blow the trumpets in the temple. The seventh is to sanctify the seed of Aaron in the temple. The eighth is to wear priestly garments in the temple. The ninth is the washing of hands and feet for worship in the temple. My commentary. These are all mitzvot to do while working in the temple. In our generation, the study of these mitzvot implies that we have performed these mitzvot, and we receive credit for these mitzvot and do not need to reincarnate to perform them again. Pasuk 28. Yud liot hakohanim osim karbanot bamikdash. Yud aleph liftot besulei amukdashin. Yibet karban ayoledet bayom hashmini. Yud gimolim loach karbanot bamikdash. Yud dalet la sota ola kamishpata. Tet vav la sot achatat Mishpato Tet Zayin Akilat Kadashim Mishpat Lekohanim Yud Zayin Akilat Sheyare Menachot Tet Yud Leasot Menachot Mitzvotan Yud Tet Lehaviyo Karbanot Levet Amikdash Taf Lehaki Vihavio Nedero Nedava Levet Amikdash Kafale Lehavio Karbanot Kadashim Deburot Ulatot Kafbet Lehakriv Shene Tamidin Kehil Katan Kaf Kimul Echad Lek Esh Tamid Al HaMizbeach. The translation. The tenth is for the priests to offer sacrifices in the temple. The 11th is to redeem those rejected for offering. The 12th is the offering of the woman who has given birth on the 8th day. The 13th is to strew salt over the sacrifices in the temple. The 14th is to prepare the burnt offering according to its prescribed manner. The 15th is to prepare the sin offering according to its prescribed manner. The 16th is the eating of the holy things according to the customs of the priests. The 17th is the eating of the leftovers of the meal offerings. The 18th is to prepare the meal offerings according to the prescribed manner. The 19th is to bring offerings to the temple. The 20th is to bring a vow or a free will offering. The 21st is to bring offerings, holy things, and in exchange for the newly born. The 22nd is to sacrifice two daily offerings, according to the prescribed manner. The 23rd is to burn constant fire on the altar. My commentary. And the list of the mitzvot continues. All of these apply also to service and work in the temple. Pasuk 29. Kaf dalet la soteru mat chadeshen. Kaf hele hadlik neirod hamnora. Kaf vav lehakriv mincha. Bekol yom kaf zayin lehakriv, musaf b'shabbat, kaf chet lehasdir, lechem uvona, kaf tet lehakriv, karban musaf b'reach. The Rabbi Yechia Lamed Lekakriv Zion Yemei Abetzach Lamed Aleph Lekakriv Yom HaOmer Kevish Leola Lamed Bet Lekakriv HaOmer Lamed Gimel Lekakriv Karban Musaf Beshavuot Lamed Dalet Behakriv Shete Halechem Beshavuot Lamed He Behakriv Musaf Be Rabbi Haya Lamed Vav Behakriv Musaf Be Yom HaKippurim Lamed Zion Lahakriv Musaf Zion Yemei Hag Echad Lamed Chet Litachriv Musaf Bishmine Atzeret Et Lamed Lishroch Et Hanotar Vaish Mem Lishroch Kadishim Shenit Shanitz Mahu Mem Aleph Lavod Kohen Gadol Biyom HaKippurim. The translation. The 24th is to take of the ashes. The 25th is to light the candles of the candelabra. The 26th is to offer a meal offering daily. The 27th is to offer an additional offering on Shabbat. The 28th is to arrange bread and frankincense. The 29th is to offer an additional offering on the new moon. The 30th is to sacrifice on the 7 days of the Pesach. The 31st is to offer a lamb as a burnt offering on the day of the Omer. The 32nd is to offer the Omer. The 33rd is to offer an additional offering on Shavuot. The 34th is to offer two loaves of bread on Shavuot. The 35th is to offer an additional offering on Rosh Hashanah. The 36th is to offer an additional offering on Yom Kippur. The 37th is to offer an additional sacrifice on the 7 days of Sukkot. The 38th is to offer an additional offering on Shmini Atzeret. The 39th is to burn the remains in the fire. The 40th is to burn the holy things that became impure. The 41st concerns the service of the high priest on Yom Kippur. And my commentary. And the mitzvot continue. Why is the list being separated into pasukim? Is a question that we could ask. Pasuk 30. Mem bet hamoel achetesh keren vachomesh mem gimel harban hatat mem dalet asham lal talu al sefeko mem he karban asham vaday al hayadua mem vav karban Ole Vayored Mem Zion Karban Skin Sanhedre Gidola Shetau Mem Het Lechakri Hazav Achar Sheitaher Mem Tet Karban Zava Achar shetita her nun karban yodot nun aleph karban mitzoraim mitaman ve'elech shar pikudim. The 42nd concerns he who trespasses against temple property. His punishment is to repay the cost plus one-fifth of the cost of the property concerned. The 43rd is the offering of the sin offering. The 44th concerns the guilt offering. When there is doubt whether a sin was committed, the 45th concerns an offering for a guilt offering, when guilt is undoubted. The 46th is an offering of higher and lesser value. The 47th is the offering of the members of the Sanhedrin when they make an error. The 48th is for he who had an issue to offer after he is cleansed of the issue. The 49th is the offering of a woman who had an issue after she is cleansed of it. The 50th concerns the offering of a woman who gave birth. The 51st concerns the offering of the leprous. From there, proceed the other precepts. My commentary is to see the previous comments essentially saying we're continuing to list the mitzvot. We could ask a question, why are these 51 precepts listed in this section in the Parasha of Behar? And the answer to a student of Kabbalah should be clear. If not, you can ask a question or send me an email with that question. It's the end of our section. Does anyone have any questions?
So can you answer that? Why is it in Bahar?
What's the meaning of Bahar?
On the mountain.
Is it on the mountain or is it in the mountain?
In the mountain? With the mountain?
It could be both. But what is the mountain? Which mountain are we talking about? The sages tell us it's
Mount Moriah. I mean, Zion.
No, the sages tell us it's Mount Sinai. It's at the moment of the giving of the Torah. It's confirming that the oral traditions, the oral laws, and all of the mitzvot were given at the same time that the Esser Dibrot were given. And that's the reason that the 51 precepts were given at this time. Now, why did they list 51 and not 52 or not 50? And the answer to that is, what is the word nun aleph? Na, which translates in Hebrew to be please. It's a request to the Creator. Please do what I'm requesting. And that's why 51 precepts were given. Are there any other questions?
I had a question on precept 28, where it says the 12th is the offering of the woman who has given birth on the 8th day. What does it mean, she gave birth on the 8th day?
What happens on the 8th day when a boy is born?
You mean the 8th day after she gave birth?
Remember, we're looking at an English translation which may or may not be accurate. So it could be that the English translation could be that it's that she's the offering that a woman gives 8 days after she gives birth.
Okay, thank you.
And in one sense, the offering she's giving on that 8th day is the Brit Milah, the foreskin that her son is having removed.
Okay, so it was just English. All right.
You broke up. Please say again.
No, so it was just the English was not clear. Okay.
I don't speak Aramaic, so I can't say for sure, but that's a possibility. It could also be that it's on the 8th day of her birth and that the message in that statement is to recognize, because if you go back to what the Torah says, when a woman gives birth to a boy, she brings an offering after 7 days. So why does it say 8 days? Because it could be referring to one of the transitions, one of the changes that will take place as we find that the Mohin, the upper three Sephirot, have now entered our world because the redemption has taken place. And so instead of offering a sacrifice on the 7th day, we will adjust to the 8th day to represent the connection to Bina. Again, that is a possibility. It doesn't mean that it's accurate. And there's always 70 understandings of every letter, every word, and every verse in the Torah. And there are many, many ways to understand what the Zohar says. Always try and look outside of the box that you create for yourself with logic. Connect to your intuition and you'll find the answers to each question you ask. Because it will be a different answer for you than for me. A different answer for me than for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions? We have enough time to continue, but the next section is really a very long section, so I don't want to start it. And also, because of the all-night study or the long-night study tonight for Rabbi Shimon and for the Lag BaOmer holiday, which will begin at 10 p.m. West Coast time.
I just want to ask, when you said you said that it's because we don't have the tempo, by learning about these mitzvahs, that we've fulfilled the obligation for it?
Correct.
Is that so what level do you have to study it to fulfill that obligation? And also, what if we can accomplish the same thing in learning about it as doing it, what was the purpose of doing it? What's the advantage of doing it? Why? Is there must be something, are they equivalent or it's just compensation?
What's the name of the world we live in?
Alamasiya.
And what is the translation?
The world of action.
So what is the difference between study and action?
So in action, we actually do something with the physical world.
Correct. And why is it okay for us to study it now and not have to do it?
Because we can't do it.
And why can't we do it?
Because we don't have the physical
We destroyed the temple. We are the cause for the destruction of the temple. But Hashem, in His mercy, has told us, I am following the following precept, the following law from the world of Zeranpin, from the Olam Yetzirah. What is that law that I'm following? As a mechanical or as a metaphor, if a woman goes to the mikveh and the door is locked and she can't get in, does she have to come back another time? The answer is no. Because she had the consciousness to go to the mikveh and perform the mitzvah of immersion, she was prevented from doing so by a locked door through no fault of her own. And therefore, she is cleansed as if she went into the immersion, she went into the mikveh. And that's Hashem's mercy. Why the study of a precept, the study of the actions, is the same in our generation, because we don't have the temple to perform the action. The study of the action is the same as its performance. But in an earlier generation where the temple existed, that would not have been true. And yet you still had to study the precept. You still had to study the mitzvah in order to perform it. But you had the priest there to explain it to you, which was a form of study, of learning. You asked the question, how deep do you have to go into the study of the mitzvah to count as if you have done the mitzvah? That depends on the level of your soul. It depends on whether you did that mitzvah in an earlier lifetime. If you lived, as we all did, live at the times of the temple, and we did that mitzvah, we don't have to study that mitzvah, because the law is, the law of reincarnation, you have to reincarnate for any mitzvah that you have not yet performed properly. So you can see how we need to apply all of the different learnings and understandings and teachings of the Torah to understand many of the other teachings. And there's a list in Hebrew, I've never seen it translated, but it explains how you can relate to the general and the specific, and how they relate to each other, and how you can use a specific mitzvah and sometimes apply it to the general laws, or how you can sometimes apply the general laws to a specific mitzvah. But this is all written and explained in the Talmud. And as one of my friends said, and I think I've expressed that experience that he and I had together, when an Orthodox rabbi asked us, how could we be studying the Zohar when we didn't have the basics? We hadn't studied the Talmud. And my friend's answer was very quick and sure. Rabbi, you're absolutely right. We need to study the Talmud. But after 300 years and lifetimes of studying the Talmud, I'm ready to study the Zohar. At which point the Orthodox rabbi walked away. Because there's no way he can refute that statement. There's no way he can accept that statement, because he doesn't know. But his intuition would know if he knew how to use it. Any other questions?
I just want to... So you said that the consciousness, when you learn it, so your consciousness is so you've done it, is the physical world affected when I learn it? In other words, is my understanding that when you do a mitzvah with a physical object, the physical object take on a change. So if you're only changing your own consciousness, does anything happen to the physical world?
Change only happens to the physical world, in the physical world, with the physical world, when your consciousness changes. That is the only way you... You remove bread of shame. When you remove bread of shame, you remove negativity from the world. And that only happens with consciousness. There are three levels and we don't have time to go into them. But they're expressed by the following words. Mind and matter. Mind over matter. Mind is matter. Most people learning and looking at the world literally are living in a world of mind and matter, implying a connection but a separation. Mind over matter implies control of the physicality with your consciousness. And mind is matter is a level of connection that is actually God, equivalent to God. As the Torah says, God spoke and it came into being. Mind is matter is what you think is what you create without a process. These are very deep subjects. And we're in the holiday of Lag BaOmer, which is a very high energy day. What does that mean? It means because of the Sefirah that we will count in a few minutes at 8:30 West Coast time, that Sefirah represents all of the light of the Torah in the manifested state of the spiritual, which means it has no limitation that is created by physicality. The physical represents a limitation. I can't put my hand through a table or a door or a wall. But in the spiritual, I can walk through all three of them. They're not limiting to the spiritual level, but they are limiting in the physical. This is the light of the Torah tonight, and it's elevating all of our consciousnesses. If we would only allow it to come and happen. Are there additional questions, which I hope there are?
So that third level, where mind is what did you say? Mind is matter.
Correct.
So do we need to be on that level to have the third base of Mikdash?
On that level, the Beit HaMikdash was never destroyed. One of my teachers expressed that she was in Israel for Sukkot one year, and the Sukkah she was in overlooked the temple wall, the western wall. And she says that she thinks, she's afraid to confirm it, but as far as she is concerned, she saw the temple. It was still there. Now again, if she's there on Sukkot, it's an elevation of energy. So she was able to make that connection and then after Sukkot, the world comes back down. And she lost that connection. She could no longer see the temple. But for an instant, she could. On the seventh day of Pesach, where the Kabbalists go through a ritual of walking around a bowl of water in order to see the water split. Some say they have done so. For that instant, mind is matter is a goal. The goal is to maintain that level of consciousness. We can reach it from moment to moment, for a moment. At least that's what's been expressed to me by my teachers.
But what is the goal? Is the goal to jump to the base of Mikdash, to have the consciousness of the base of Mikdash, or to have the physical matter of the stone revealing it? So that everybody in the world has to be raised up to the level of the consciousness, or there's going to be a certain number of people who are manifesting it, so that no matter what level you're on, you have a space on the desk. I don't know if that's a clear question.
The question you're asking is, how many people does it take to be on that level of consciousness to manifest the temple so that others can see it as well?
That is the question. The question is also, though, that will the physical rock, will the physical stone be there, or it's going to be a spiritual place of Mikdash? In other words, what she saw was a spiritual base of Mikdash. But the stones, for people on the lower level, they were still seeing the wall of the physical stones for people on a lower level.
Yes.
They didn't see the base of Mikdash.
Yes.
So my question, will the world, it's my understanding that the world itself, Hashem wants to dwell in the lowest physicality. So, I'm not exactly sure what that means, but it seems to me that there's got to be something physical.
You're already making an assumption. The assumption
mm-hmm.
is that the way you see things now in the physical world is the way it will be then. My teacher never said it was a spiritual temple. She, as far as she was concerned, it was physical.
But other people didn't see it.
So what?
So they were still in a physical, fleshy consciousness. That's
they
my
were
question.
On a level, like, they were on a level of mind and matter. They were on a lower level is all.
Right. So is everybody going to be elevated to the level of what do I call it again? Mind?
Mind is matter.
Is matter.
No, not everybody will reach that level. Some people will remain on the level of mind and matter. Some people will reach the level of mind over matter, and others will reach the level of mind is matter. What will determine the difference? How cleansed your soul is. How connected your soul is. Remember, there's a prophecy that 7,000 souls will be flying over Jerusalem when Mashiach comes, when the temple is rebuilt, whatever that means. And then the rest of humanity will be studying the Torah to try and reach the level where they are also able to fly, where they are no longer limited by the physicality. This is a night where you can make that connection to not be limited by physicality. That's why it will be a late night, if not an all-night study.
Okay, thank you.
Can I have a quick question?
Go ahead, Connor.
Is the level of mind is matter, is that the level of Bina?
Yes.
Thank you.
Shavua Tov, Chag Sameach.
Shavua Tov.
We will count the Omer in approximately a half hour.
Shavua
Tov. Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you. Thank you.